destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
This is the People's War. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so obvious. Makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you got it.
Rick, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Insanity runs in my family. Practically gallops.
No stems, no seeds that you don't need. Acapulco Gold is.
This is Jake, the most acid I've ever seen anybody eat in my life. Wow, man!
Fire it up, Holmes!
Why don't you get a job, Spicoli?
What for?
You need money.
All I need are some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
Welcome and thanks for tuning in to Revolution Radio. And now it's time for that feral hippie herself, an infotartic, esoteric, eclectic mix of the adventures of that feral hippie, Miss Mona Radler.
What are you people? On dope?
That was my skull! I'm so wasted!
Make a move and the money gets in.
Dave's not here!
All right, Mona, it's all yours. Take it away.
On this 15th day of February 2023. Yes. Here at Freedom Slips, revolution.radio. We are listener supported, so please do as a favor. Come to the homepage and do a donate click, a donate click, a donate click. Thank you very much. All kinds of things going on, huh? Seriously. I am just... something else. Yep, I don't know what to do first. Seriously. That's almost a daily thing now, isn't it? Yes. Should I do the long one first? Or longest one first? Or... I'm going to go to this one. Because this has been a big deal on my mind. So.
Nice is good, Jack. I hope it lasts forever.
What it says here is oil spill cover-up. How did months-old film know exact disaster and location?
Let's watch a sitcom or something.
No!
They're calling it the airborne toxic event.
We won't come this way.
Will we have to leave our home?
Of course not.
How do you know?
I just know.
Okay, what if it's dangerous?
Evacuate all places of residence.
What you just saw was a trailer for a Netflix film that was released late 2020 called White Noise. Now, this particular film is all about a small town in and around Palestine, Ohio, in which a train was derailed, and that train carried hazardous materials that impacted the entire town. Why is that important? Because right now, nearly the exact same thing, just months later, is happening in Ohio, and more specifically in Palestine, Ohio. Is it just one big fat conspiracy that this movie knew in advance what was going to happen? Or did some crazy lunatic decide to use that movie and derail some trains in and around the area? Or is there more to the story? Well, in today's broadcast, I'm not only going to get into that, but I'm also going to get into the details of what's truly going on and how Pete Buttigieg, the Biden administration, and the mainstream media are all purposefully ignoring this story and telling everybody not to worry, everything is safe. Meanwhile, animals are literally dying all over the place. And if animals are dying, what kind of hazards is that going to have on the human body? So let's dive into first this Netflix film called White Noise. And I want to take you, unfortunately, to Wikipedia. But here's what it says about the film. It says, White Noise had its world premiere at the 79th Venice International Film Festival on August 31st, 2022, and was released in select cinemas on November 25th, 2022, before its streaming release on December 30th by Netflix. Now, a little added information on this is that it was adapted from the 1985 novel with the same title by Don DeLillo. DeLillo. If I'm butchering that, I apologize. But anyway, we know that this was adapted from a novel back in 1985, and then they published the movie in November, December of last year. And yet here we are just a couple months later, and we've got nearly the exact events playing out in the exact same surrounding area as the film. This screams that there's more to the story for me. Maybe it's just a coincidence, but here's kind of a detail of what's going on. And by the way, my hearts and prayers are for right now. I have been praying for you guys and praying for everyone involved in this. And I've been holding the story for a couple days because I really wanted to get all the information and details to you correctly and all the updates. But I am really praying for everyone involved in this. But I've got a good layout of what's going on. Take a look at the ZeroHedge.com article. Get the hell out of there. And I say amen to that. Ohio's apocalyptic chemical disaster rages on. The chaos began early last week when a train of more than 100 cars derailed in East Palestine, Ohio, near the state's border with Pennsylvania, roughly 5,000 residents. The accidents launched 50 of those 100 freight cars from the tracks. 20 of the freight cars on the train were carrying hazardous materials, 10 of which were derailed. While the accident had no fatalities, of those 10 cars, 5 contained pressurized vinyl chloride, a highly flammable carcinogenic gas. And by the way, that's not the only carcinogenic style gas that was in there. I'll get in that in a moment. But it goes on to state this. The Ohio Emergency Management Agency executed its plan of ventilating the toxic gas with a controlled burn in order to evade an uncontrolled explosion, which presented the risk of catastrophic damage. Quote, within the last 2 hours, a drastic temperature change has taken place in a rail car, and there is now the potential of catastrophic tanker failure, which could cause an explosion with the potential of deadly shrapnel traveling up to a mile. Governor Mike DeWine warned in a statement explaining the decision to take action and avert widespread disaster. However, that operation sent large plumes of smoke containing vinyl chloride, phosgene, hydrogen chloride, and other gases into the air as flames from the controlled burn raged on for days. Phosgene, in particular, is a highly toxic gas that can cause vomiting and respiratory trouble. The toxicity of phosgene gas is so potent that it was previously used as a chemical weapon during the First World War. It goes on. The hazard airborne chemicals prompted officials to issue mandatory evacuations and shelter-in-place orders within a one-mile radius of where the train derailed. Those orders forced nearly 2,000 residents of East Palestine out of their homes, despite the risk. About 500 people within the parameters of the evacuation refused to leave their home. However, the orders were listed February 8th, allowing them back into their homes. Now, I am going to show you some of the footage here of their quote-unquote control burn. You can see it's burning there, and it's kind of like a repeat throughout that. And all that smoke and junk is just really filling the air. There's a lot of gas in there. I'm going to show you some pictures on all of that. But let me just put it bluntly. I think it's very potential that their solution of, of control burning may have just made matters far, far worse, because now we've got animals dying all over the place, from fox to fish to dogs. All these things are being posted. And, the residents in the area, the place where the animals are dying have now expanded not only 1 mile, but 5 miles, by even up to 10 miles. If that is doing this right now to our animals, what the heck is it doing to the human body? Now, here is what Asil Caggiano, a hazardous materials specialist, had to say about the event. And by the way, here are the other carcinogens or other hazardous gases that were involved in that as well. Take a listen.
We now know three more chemicals that were on board the Norfolk Southern train that derailed here in East Palestine just over a week ago. And we're being told that some of those chemicals are dangerous.
We basically nuked a town with chemicals so we could get a railroad open.
The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency sent a letter to Norfolk Southern stating that ethylene glycol monobutyl ether, ethylexyl acrylate, and isobutylene were also in the rail cars that were derailed, breached, or on fire.
So according to the hazardous material specialist, they literally nuked an entire town to open up a railroad. We are talking about, because of the way that it transpired, I think there could have been a way better way to handle this than put a control burn and put everything in the air. But I digress. Right now, because of all of that and because of the situation, we are experiencing one of the biggest, if not the biggest, potentially environmental disaster that we have ever had in the United States of America. And by the way, those aren't the only materials. The EPA put out a list of all the hazardous materials that are out there. And here it is. EPA released train manifest with complete list of chemicals. And here's the list of chemicals. I'm not going to read them all for you, but you can see vinyl chloride there and some of the other ones, some combustible ones as well. But the same one she mentioned in the video as well. But the one she mentioned in the video as well can cause all kinds of respiratory problems. It can cause dizziness, fatigue, these kinds of things as well, not to mention vomiting and all of that. So if I were in the area, I would personally get the hell out of the area until the stuff is cleaned out of the air. And by the way, here's some footage of how thick that air is there that people are breathing in. And you can see it's really heavy. That's not just normal clouds. That is from what is going on. And by the way, just lots of stuff happening there. And speaking of animals, let's go through some of the animals that have been reported as dead in this thing, because I also think that that's very important. Here's a couple of updates on that. Dead fish are being pulled from the river outside East Palestine, Ohio. You can see here they're working in the river here, and I'm just going to show you a little clip here of that. And by the way, thousands of fish have been reported taken out of some of these lakes. At least that is the number I'm being told. Also here, here's more on the fish. There are reports of dead fish in rivers and creeks 5 miles away from the train derailment, and not just dead fish. We also have Amanda Bershers, who found her chickens dead 10 miles from East Palestine, 10 miles away. That's not all, but we also have Taylor, a fox keeper, who is reporting one of his foxes have died. The other one is fairly swollen and all of that. And who knows the status on the other fox as of right now. We also have people complaining in the area. A former resident of East Palestine says it is so much worse than the media is telling you. And by the way, the media is being utterly silent. And then we also have a Facebook update yesterday from a Darlington, Pennsylvania kennel owner. Says after 20 minutes outside, they had horrible headaches, runny nose, burning, swollen eyes, pulsating eye sockets, itchy throat, and coughing. After evacuating 30 dogs and 9 horses, the owner says they are staying evacuated until testing can be done on the air, soil, and well water to make sure that they are safe. Bottom line here is that this poor air quality is being presented, the poor water quality is being presented, and I do believe these are going to cause potential short and long-term health effects. In fact, the EPA has a liability letter that they sent to Norfolk. Here it is here. And the EPA's liability letter sent to Norfolk Southwest Railway Company on February 10th, cars containing vinyl chloride and all of these other hazardous materials are known to have been and continue to be released to the air, into the soils, and into the waters. So here where they actually admit, according to the EPA, that all this stuff can affect soil, air, and water. On top of that, we also have the CDC medical guidelines. If you've been exposed by this vinyl chloride, they actually say that it can cause health hazards, health issues, and impacts. And some of those, and I'm going to go down here, are there any future health effects? It says a single small exposure from which a person recovers quickly is unlikely to cause delayed or long-term effects. Exposure to vinyl chloride over many years can affect the liver, nervous system, and skin. Long-term exposure can cause a rare form of liver cancer. Now, what they don't really address is if it's high all at once, what on earth are those repercussions going to have on the human body? And it's downright terrifying. This is a disaster. This is a cataclysmic style apocalyptic event that's breaking out, and the mainstream media is dead silent. In fact, something else that I want to show you is this video that was put out on TikTok, and he claims to be some kind of expert. I don't know exactly what he is on that, but he talks about how vinyl chloride can cause, I guess, acid in the rain. Take a listen to this clip here.
Now, this crash in Ohio has 5 train cars. These kinds of tanker cars can carry between 25 and 33,000 gallons. Let's call it 250 to 250,000 pounds of vinyl chloride. That's per train car, 5 train cars. There's maybe 1 million pounds of this toxic chemical spilling into the ground and also boiling off into the air. But then it caught on fire. I think this is where the reporting is really bad, because no one is mentioning what the byproduct of vinyl chloride burning is. Of the many byproducts of burning vinyl chloride, one of them is hydrogen chloride. Hydrogen chloride is really unstable and latches onto water, like just water vapor in the atmosphere, and that turns into hydrochloric acid. So right now, government officials, officials from the railroad, both the governor of Pennsylvania and Ohio are calling burning off the 1 million pounds of this stuff a success, but not mentioning that it means that we have hundreds of thousands of pounds of acid in the air, potentially.
There you have it. Hundreds of thousands of pounds of acid in the air, potentially. But they're calling this some kind of victory. Mike Keister, I don't know about you, but they lie, they lie, they lie, and they lie often. They lied about Russia and the collusion with Donald Trump. Oh, by the way, they lied about the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. Did a report on that on Restricted Republic. If you're not there, you got to get there, right? They lied about, you know, everything surrounding a lot of other stuff. I mean, I could go on and name hundreds of things. And here's what else they're not telling you, is this is also impacting, obviously, the water supply, the Ohio River there. A water source, by the way, that is the source for 10% of us here in the United States. And now it has vinyl chloride in our water supply. And let me just throw up a map so you could see where this goes from. It goes from Pennsylvania all the way down through Ohio. There we have Indiana, Kentucky, Illinois there. This is the water supply that has now been contaminated. What are the repercussions of that? Are we going to have some kind of issues down the road where an entire area just suddenly starts getting lung cancer or some kind of weird kind of hazard? We won't know quite yet. And the mainstream media is not saying any of this. You know, I think if Donald Trump was the president right now, this would be all over the mainstream media. But since he's not, they're keeping it quiet. Where are the environmentalists? Where are the leftists and their outrage? It's nowhere to be seen. They just don't care, because all they care about is pushing a political agenda, and they don't care. This is the biggest environmental disaster that we have had in the United States of America. And again, we don't know the long-term effects. And yet, here we are. Now, just to give you an update on what they're claiming caused this, because there could be a lot of causes. They're still evaluating what was the cause. Right now, they're saying, or NTSB referenced a video from Salem, Ohio, saying, well, about they showed, we saw sparks and flames coming, from beneath the train. So they are claiming that it was some kind of structural issue, and it was all captured on security camera. And they've got this on two separate videos, but they're saying that, you know, there was some kind of temperature that was rising in the train, and the train executed its emergency brake application, which caused the derailment. Now, one could ask, well, what caused the temperature change and the whole nine yards? So they're still looking into the investigation of the whole thing. But either way, they're saying this could be a technical issue or some kind of just, you know, normal structural issue, which wouldn't surprise me, because we've got Pete Buttigieg on duty, who really doesn't care about anything other than making press conferences about, you know, how there are too many white people. Take a look here. Pete Buttigieg has said nothing as of the making of this video about what's happening in Ohio. Pete Buttigieg doesn't mention Ohio derailment at conference, but finds time to say that there are too many white people working in construction. This man is an idiot, and he needs to get out immediately. Immediately. But yet, we could potentially have some big issues here. And by the way, I don't know. I'm waiting for more information to come out regarding what really transpired. I hope not some lunatic out there set this off, or who knows? It could be an attack from Russia, China, or, you know, who knows? I'm keeping my eyes open and watching this. Meanwhile, there have been two more train derailments, by the way. Take a look at gatewaypundit.com. Developing emergency officials responding to two more train derailments, one in South Carolina and another in Texas. And by the way, I believe those were also carrying some kind of quote-unquote hazardous materials, but nowhere near the amount of devastation that we have seen here in Ohio. But either way, wanted to bring you the latest on all of that. I know I covered a lot in this report. Anyhow, thanks again. I'm Lisa Haven, signing out.
Just something else.
The last couple of videos we've been trying to deal with what's going on in East Palestine, Ohio, with the train derailment and everything that's happened since that day. And so I asked the people who are there, or know people who are there, or in the surrounding areas, if you would kind of tell us what's going on the ground, since we're not going to get it from Fake Stream, CIA Infiltrated Operation Mockingbird, MKUltra Media. Some of you responded, and that's what we're going to cover in this video. Stay tuned. I want to thank
Now back to someone who takes precautions in Palestine, Ohio, since the train derailment and the intentional burning of the cars with vinyl chloride, among other chemicals, apparently. Now, I asked some of you in the area and the surrounding areas to let me know what you see, and you guys responded. So that's what this video is about. Vanessa says, I live an hour and a half away from East Palestine, Ohio.
I know this sounds...
As someone who takes precautions and tries to avoid poison as much as possible, I pay attention to my body and listen to its cues. Anyway, I've had headaches off and on since last Friday and woke up Saturday morning with a sore throat that has continued to come and go, along with the burning feeling in my nose. Not to mention my 10-year-old daughter, who hasn't had breathing treatments in months, if not a year, asked me to take her to the doctor on Wednesday because she's having trouble breathing. My 12-year-old daughter, who's in perfect health, was playing outside yesterday and came inside complaining of being dizzy. I didn't think anything of these incidents until just now. This is the first I've heard of it, but I definitely noticed a change Sunday at church. Everyone seems to be in a fog, and at the store today, I noticed people were acting confused and aggressive. I've been feeling agitated since Saturday, which is unusual. So this raises some serious questions on what the short and long-term effects will be on people and animals that are directly and indirectly affected by this. For example, how will this affect egg production? What can we expect to happen from the offspring of cattle and other livestock? What kind of immediate and long-term effects will this have on fertility and pregnancy in human beings? What will happen with cancer rates in this area? Will the soil be affected, which will affect next year's crops? Not to mention the contamination to the ground and surface water. Too Many Glocks writes, I live in central Ohio and I'm scared about what this will do to the animals. I don't want to even let my cats go outside now. They like to drink water from the stream out back. I love to hunt and fish, and I love the outdoors, so I'm worried about what this will do to the environment in Ohio and the surrounding areas. And that's a good point, too. Deer eat the vegetation that's available to them. Will they start getting sick and dying off? Will their meat become contaminated? Jay Cortez says, I live in Toledo, Ohio. I didn't know that the cloud was a 200-mile radius and reached us. I'm honestly scared and wasn't even aware of this until a few days ago. I pray my kids don't get cancer or any other diseases from this. Kimberly wrote, so I grew up in Lisbon, Ohio. That's about 12 miles away from East Palestine and in terms of time, about 20 minutes away. I now live in Salem, Ohio with my husband and two sons. First off, let's just be clear. This train had a wheel that was on fire and was on fire going all the way through Salem, which is, again, 18 miles away from where the train derailed, give or take. There's pictures throughout Salem of this train on fire, which means this train also went through Laetuna on fire and...
If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays? For Voices on the Wind, with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
There have been imaginative science fiction writers for generations.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
I'm aware of some archaeologists that have uncovered large bones indicating giants in Virginia. Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down and
so. No, that's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford. Join me every Thursday night in Studio A at 6 p.m. Eastern for Factor Theory Live. Find us on www.revolution.radio. Great guests and great stories.
What do you believe?
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Columbiana. We know it was on fire for a very long time, at least through Salem. Who knows how long it was on fire before it made it to Salem? Now, call me crazy, but why in all that time did the conductor not stop the train before it derailed? And Kimberly is absolutely right. This footage right here was captured by a security camera at an equipment plant in Salem, Ohio, about 20 miles before it went off the rails in East Palestine. This footage was taken around 8:12 p.m., and the derailment happened 20 miles later at 8:55 p.m. So you're telling me that for at least 45 minutes and possibly more, jeez, this train was sparking and on fire and nobody called to let anybody know? The conductors who are on board were unaware of what was going on? I just want to ask, are there any seasoned conductors out there who've got years of experience who can give us any information on if this could have been detected by the guys running the engine? I understand trains can be long and this could be a long way from the engine house or whatever you call it, but it seems like somehow in 45 minutes you would know that your train was on fire. And again, this video is just from Salem. How long had it been sparking? How long was it on fire? For all we know, it could have been 30 minutes prior to this. Kimberly continues, we personally haven't been affected by the burn-off, but we also don't know long-term effects from the chemicals they burned. We know that when they did the burn, they released a nerve gas that was used in World War I against enemies. We personally kept our kids inside last week for the burn, but I'm not naive to think that we are in the clear with any of this. Yes, the creeks and rivers are most definitely contaminated, and there's livestock that died from this. was this all a plan? Or was it really an accident? Again, I may sound crazy, but the way the world is going, one has to wonder. Creation and Evolution wrote, "The River Valley had a gray mist the day after the controlled burn. Little Beaver Creek feeds into the Ohio River, where a lot of other water plants draw water from. The nearest in East Liverpool, Ohio, is claiming water is safe, but downstream is advising no drink warnings. The air in the valley is already toxic, as is due to industry. Specifically, S.H. Bell at the border, where it was proven to the EPA and to the DOJ, dozens have toxic levels of manganese and other things, such as arsenic and lead poisoning. They signed a consent decree, self-monitoring, prior to seeing the blood tests, and the ex-mayor was told by lead toxicologists at the EPA that the results were put in a safe place." By the way, this is the same EPA whose safety team accidentally released contaminated water from a mine into the Animas River in southwest Colorado back in 2015. The spill, which sent heavy metals, arsenic, and other contaminants into a waterway that flows into the San Juan National Forest, occurred in August of that year. The EPA initially said 1 million gallons of wastewater had been released, but it turns out it was at least 3 times that amount, maybe even more. Here's the Animas River before the EPA spill and after the EPA spill. Before, after. Kind of like before the controlled burn in East Palestine, Ohio, and after the controlled burn. Remember, they're from the government and they're only here to help. There's no problem that you or I have that's so great that the addition of government can't make it exponentially worse. Creation and Evolution continues. A waste incinerator pollutes the air, a coal ash dump site leaking into the river and local wells since the 1970s. All bonuses living in this couple mile radius. The largest green space in the area and industry is destroying it. They're there to protect profit, not people. The U.S. is a branch business, folks. And Darren says, "Alert, Brian, they aren't done burning off chemicals. There will be more. I have info from a source that there are still approximately 7 to 8 more train cars worth of chemicals that they're going to explode and burn off. They're soliciting the help of 50 different fire departments, and one happens to be where I am, thankfully west of the location, but still in Ohio and still within the radius. Also, what link are you viewing the wind speeds?" That would be VentuSky, and that link can be found on my website. Ron says, "I live about 30 minutes from here, but work 15 to 20 minutes away. On Monday, after the crash around 11 a.m., I started noticing an itch under my armpits. By 6 p.m. that day, I was covered in a skin rash from my chest, arms, and groin area that lasted for 3 days only after steroid intervention and prescription cream. I am keeping a record of everything because I'm certain it was caused by the derailment." Theodore says, "Moved from central Ohio to Tulsa and have a sister and her family near there. She and both the kids already have respiratory issues. I tried and failed to get them to come down here to Oklahoma for a few weeks at least. No go. Then her neighbor's horses died and her husband's horses died overnight. Nephew said his lungs felt like popcorn, and now they're coming down here to Tulsa for a bit."
Now, guys, if you live in this area or in the immediate surrounding area or areas that might be affected and you guys see things that aren't being reported on the news, I'll tell you what, I'm going to make a pinned comment under this video. And just so that I can find the comments easier instead of going through, 500 comments to find yours, just put your comment as a reply under the pinned video. If you know what's going on the ground, if you've seen the dead fish and the dead frogs in the water, if you've experienced dead livestock or vegetation dying or something going on with the groundwater. So leave your comments because I will read them. And if I think it's going to make a video that's going to help inform people, I'll definitely make a separate video because this is an environmental disaster, and it's not just happening today, and it's not just happening in East Palestine, Ohio. It's going to happen in a lot of places, especially if it is in fact this vinyl chloride and the fallout from the acid rain, the hydrochloric acid in the atmosphere or whatever, if it finds its way into the Ohio River and then it seeps down into the Mississippi River and groundwater supplies and then livestock and then agriculture. So
please leave your comments, because I want to stay on this as well as I can with the channel that I got, and you know, inform people, because like I said, fake stream media is not going to inform us what's going on. Ki bono, who benefits, and why are they staying silent about it? If you guys want to support this channel, grab a hard-hitting conversation starting design from the store. You can put on any shirt, hoodie, mug, cell phone case, whatever. Visit me on my backup channels.
That's right. Jeez. I don't even think you have to think about it. I mean, seriously.
Causes cancer in laboratory animals, in case you didn't know.
Either I chew gum or I smoke.
What are these children, yours?
That's mine from Wives 1 and 3. There's Babette's from Husband 2. Wilder is ours. We're each other's fourth.
Life is good, Jack. I hope it lasts forever.
Let's watch a sitcom or something.
No! They're calling it the airborne toxic event.
It won't come this way.
Will we have to leave our home?
Of course not.
How do you know?
I just know.
Okay, what if it's dangerous?
Evacuate all places of residence. So this
is the end, or near to the end. Let's take it.
We have a situation.
All we have to do is stay out of the way.
They're passing us, Dad.
Technically, that's illegal.
Do sheep have lashes?
Ask your father.
We're going sideways.
Dad, do sheep have lashes?
Doesn't anyone want to pay attention to what's actually happening?
I wish there was something I could do. I wish I could outthink the problem.
There are two kinds of people in the world, killers and dyers. Most of us are dyers.
And here it happened.
We keep inventing hope.
White Netflix. Just crazy. So at least they got a way of telling you what's going to happen, right? Because that, isn't that part of the thing that has to happen, is they got to tell you? I mean, come on. They got to tell you, don't they? Isn't that part of the whole system? They got to tell you that they're going to kill you because you don't count. You don't matter. You don't mean shit. Just crazy. Just downright crazy. Okay, a-hole, what you up to?
Ladies and gentlemen, as the Commander-in-Chief of the United States Joint Forces, I am here today to inform you that a number of unidentified flying objects have appeared over many parts of our country. Though their exact origin remains to be fully determined, the FBI has informed me that it is very likely that these are visitors of extraterrestrial nature. I advise the American people to remain calm, not fall into panic, and wait for further announcements. We shall overcome this threat with confidence and vigilance. May God protect our souls.
Now, if you want to watch this, it's so funny because you can see his mouth is not working with the words. So, you know, and if you want to believe that we're being invaded, more power to you, whatever. Even Carol Rosen says, yep, here it comes, the brawn thing. Yep. Oh, yeah, sure. If people literally believe this crap, I mean, so many of the machines that they claim as UFOs, unidentified, are patented and man-made. So, Don't fall for it. Whatever you do. Now, I've seen real UFOs, so I cannot claim or deny, but just so crazy. Everything that's going down. We are in the end times. I cannot deny that, because everything that we once knew is ending. You thought it was bad with COVID? Well, they're still claiming COVID. I mean, that's just ridiculous. They are. They're just... A lot of places or people actually believe that those tests are accurate. They're far from being accurate. But...
What Edward Snowden just said about the UFOs is kind of terrifying and actually should concern all of us, because it's not about aliens specifically. So NSA whistleblower, an American hero in my mind and on this show's mind, I believe, agrees with us here at Redacted, as we've been warning you over the past few days, that all of this UFO talk is just a distraction. Just a distraction to take your mind off of what's really going on here. Take your mind off of Seymour Hersh and his bombshell reporting on the Nord Stream pipeline, that the U.S. blew up the Nord Stream pipeline. Where'd that story go? Where's the mainstream media coverage of that story? Arguably one of the biggest stories in 100 years, that the U.S. carried out one of the biggest ecological terrorist attacks of all time against our allies in the EU. But no, there's no coverage of it. So it's all distraction, right, to take your mind off of other things, so that the U.S. can go to war and get us fully involved in World War III with China and Russia. So right after Seymour Hersh's piece ran last week and exposed how the U.S. deep state destroyed the Nord Stream pipeline, the mainstream media snapped right to attention, fell right in line and ignored the story. And they followed in line in favor of covering this balloon story, this UFO story all of a sudden, this UFO invasion story, which they had ready to go. Like, ready to roll out at a moment's notice. Like, when can we roll this story out? Here we go. Are ETs or Chinese balloons attacking the United States? Are we under an invasion? It doesn't matter. Look over here, not over there. Look over there, not over here. Avert your eyes. We don't want you to see. And so Edward Snowden is spot on. He says this afternoon and agrees that, warning us all not to get distracted. He writes, it's not aliens. I wish it were aliens, but it's not aliens. It's just the old engineered panic, an attractive nuisance ensuring NatSec reporters get assigned to investigate balloon bullshit rather than budgets or bombings, a la the Nord Stream pipeline. Until next time, he writes. So keep this up for a second. So this is a part that I hadn't really thought about, but he's absolutely spot on. By having the Pentagon holding press briefings, right, and by having all of your newsrooms focused on the balloon story and UFOs, and we got to get our national security reporters down to the White House. The Pentagon's holding a briefing on this. We got to get everyone in the newsroom. Hey, the White House is calling a meeting. They're calling a briefing. The National Security Council is getting ready. They're getting all together. Go down and cover this story. Yeah, but boss, what about that story last week, the Nord Stream pipeline? I told you, go down to this new press conference they're holding. And I hadn't thought about that, but he's absolutely right. That's a total distraction. This is a way to divert newsrooms. It's a really smart play, because everyone snaps to attention. He's absolutely right about that. Something big is going on here. Something really big is being planned right in front of our eyes, and by your deep state government. And they're doing it under the guise of an alien UFO invasion.
He actually talks about in his book how when he first joined the CIA, you get access to this internal government search engine because they have their own form of Google, run by Google. And it's more anonymous than like your records pinging the server. So everyone goes and looks up things that are classified, like who killed JFK and that kind of thing. And he says, you know, in the government records that are accessible to employees, at least, you cannot tell. He says, as far as I could tell, aliens have never contacted Earth, or they haven't contacted U.S. intelligence. That it's not like something that you can see readily as an employee of the government. He also says that, yes, man did really land on the moon. Climate change is real, and chemtrails are not a thing.
Oh.
So those are his conclusions based on internal government search engines.
So we know that those government internal search engines, though, then are crap because they're totally bifurcating information from people, right? So, like, people get access to certain things and other – and we all – and by the way, we know based on Philip Corso, Colonel Philip Corso, who literally worked on reverse engineering of UFO programs for the government – the stuff was kept out digitally, was not allowed to be digitized. It was literally in a filing cabinet that his superior officers wheeled to him at the Pentagon. Here is the filing cabinet of all the reverse engineering material that you need. None of this is cross-checked and saved somewhere else. So, again, being put digitized in some sort of a CIA database for some low-level person.
And also, those employees... Yeah, those employees were probably only paying for the $9.99 per month version. You pay for $20, you get it all.
They weren't paying for Google, the G Suite of products, Google.
Right.
So anyway, something is being planned right in front of our eyes, guys, like right now. The deep state, they're doing it under the guise of a UFO invasion. We're going to get all into more of this in just a moment here. But first, let me just address something. Last night, many of you sent me emails. You emailed me thinking that maybe, and I think you may have misunderstood me, and I want to be clear about my position on this. I think you thought I was somehow being dismissive of UFOs. No, I'm being dismissive of this government narrative that suddenly we're under attack by UFOs. That to me is garbage. No, we are not under attack by UFOs. In fact, on this show, we've been covering that for about 2 years now. How the Senate started talking about this, Marco Rubio started talking about this, and I predicted this 2 years ago on this show. We can find the tape where I said, mark my words, they're going to start to use this as a threat in order to increase our military defense budget. They're going to say, oh, you know, we don't know what these things are, but we got to really start spending more money for an advanced space program or our space force or all of these things. We got to start spending more money on that. So I am fully in on this.
He is.
And I've been covering this UFO story for years. I have spoken to all manner of government employees, members of the military who've told me amazing things that they've seen about our secret government and our UFO programs in the government. They exist. Going all the way back to the U.S. retrieval of the UFO wreckage at Roswell, which was taken to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio, in Dayton, Ohio. Even going back to my time on Fox News interviewing Air Force One pilots about how they had interactions with UFOs while flying presidential candidates in the air, about technology that was beyond our own capabilities. Like, here's a little retrospective, just to a palate cleanser. Watch.
Not a lot do. This pilot, though, who flew Barack Obama during his 2008 presidential campaign, says UFOs are real, and he's seen one firsthand. Here to share his almost unbelievable stories, Pilot Andy Danziger. Nice to see you this morning.
Good morning.
Now, we should be clear that this incident that you saw happened in 1989. Why did it take so long for you to talk about it?
That
was me many moons ago. That was about maybe more than 10 years ago now, probably, right?
You were such a baby.
Such a baby face. What's amazing, it's been almost impossible since that time to get any member of the White House or Congress to talk at all about UFOs. It's a subject they never, ever talk about. And what the government is secretly doing about them, they don't talk about it. It's been impossible. No one would talk about it on the record, actually, for fear of losing their job. So it was with great alarm then that suddenly everyone is now talking about this story. Everyone, and I mean everyone, is talking about it. Just look at how NBC and CBS News both led their nightly news broadcasts last night. Watch this.
Good evening and thank you for joining us. It has happened again today. Another aerial object was shot down by U.S. warplanes.
Tonight, the growing mystery and the race to recover those unidentified objects shot down by U.S. fighter jets. Defense Secretary Austin saying today they were a threat to civilian aircraft.
So now we're all in on it, right? Suddenly, now the White House, the Senate, the Congress, the Pentagon is all giving us license to talk about it, so it's all a distraction. In fact, you have top U.S. generals coming out holding a press conference? This is crazy. Top U.S. general not ruling out aliens after military shoots down three UFOs. So the whole thing smells bad to me. Something is not right. This is not about aliens at all. This is about fear so they can distract you from what's really going on. Just listen to the White House's John Kirby go into great detail about how the White House is talking now openly about UFOs. Like, what world do we live in now? Watch.
The president also instructed the intelligence community to take a broad look at the phenomenon of unidentified aerial objects. Indeed, President Biden conducted the first ever daily intelligence briefing session devoted to this phenomenon back in June of 2021. He was briefed that this is not just an issue for the United States, but one for the rest of the world. And as I said, our friends and our partners are dealing with this as well. We worked on a bipartisan basis to stand up an office at the Pentagon to study this in partnership with the intelligence community, academic institutions, and the private sector. These unidentified aerial phenomena have been reported for many years without explanation or deep examination by the government. President Biden has changed all that. We are finally trying to understand them better.
Okay. Really? That's odd to hear from the podium, literally reading from prepared notes. When have we heard that before? We never hear that. It gets laughed off as like a joke by these, by you know, and no reporters ever ask questions about it. It's always like, oh my God, I can't believe he actually asked President
Without
Trump.
Without a joke.
Yeah, like, you know, or David Letterman asks Obama about it or something, or Jimmy Kimmel asks, you know, Bill Clinton about it, George Bush about it or something, or Hillary Clinton. But it's never part of a normal conversation, and now suddenly it is. So this morning at the Senate, the U.S. Senate held a stunning classified hearing briefing, and according to Punchbowl News this morning, U.S. senators went behind closed doors to try and get answers about these UFOs. Here are some of the people who are briefed, briefing these senators specifically. These were the same people that were trotted out at that press conference the other day, which I thought was really odd. But again, these are the same people here that are now briefing U.S. senators. And look at the names on this list. Who's there third on that list? NORAD, U.S. NORTHCOM, General Glenn Van Herk, Commander, North American Aerospace. So what's going on?
Like I've said in the past, this is like the perfect boogeyman because you're not going to have independent media to be able to verify aliens because none of us can go to space. So it's like they can create the perfect enemy. It's the perfect boogeyman for the next move because like then they can get unlimited funds because they can, you know, the photoshopping its spacecraft will be easy for propaganda. So it's like there's it's like the perfect next step with what we've seen.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing, too, because you know that this is all about money, right? And they can't confirm this stuff. We can't send people out there to find it. So we just have to rely on what they're telling us here. And if we're being invaded, like we showed you all last night, I went into great detail about the Battle of Los Angeles during World War II, like bringing us into World War II, you know, over that story. So what is going on here? Well, we can't be sure, but there is one thing we can be sure of.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
interested in the paranormal, murder mystery, real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crip Rick, I think, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for free association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern. On Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
We now return to Revolution Radio's very own feral hippie,
Mona Radler.
Welcome back here at Freedom Slips, Revolution.radio. On this 15th day of February 2023, we are listener supported, so please come to the homepage and do a donate click, a donate click, a donate click. We truly do appreciate you. UFOs!
Year we were when we started talking about these UFOs, specifically about the Senate trying to raise money about this, and Marco Rubio was trotted out and he was talking, oh yeah, these things can be a threat, you know, this is definitely a threat to our national airspace because we don't know about this, and if we can't track these things, and we really got to ramp things up here and we got to find out more about this. And then of course they're having this meeting today with the Senate behind closed doors, and I guarantee you they're going to come out, we're going to have to spend more money on our national defense, our air defense systems, this is a really concerning problem. And all a distraction for a bigger, broader story that they're trying to draw us into World War III against Russia and China. So Marco Rubio claims UFOs have been flying over the U.S. for years, he says. And here he says, look, they're shot down over the last 3 days are nothing new. Yeah, this is nothing new. And I've been watching this for years. This is happening routinely. And this is a big concern in the United States.
I can't wait until we're going through TSA.
What was that?
I was going to say, I can't wait till we're going through TSA and they're going to be like, are you an alien? No. Okay, well, we need to put you through this scanner because we kind of think you are.
You know, both things you're saying is true, is that you believe in UFOs, but you also believe that the government is using this as a scapegoat to ratchet up its defense.
Right. We've had, I mean, guests on this show who've, I mean, we've had Michael Horn and other people on the show. Like, thousands of years of this has been happening, and suddenly now they're attacking the United States. Like, give me a break. Like, it's an absolute ridiculous thing. And so they're going to use it as a distraction, just like Edward Snowden said. They're going to use this as a distraction. And by the way, we featured FBI, former FBI special agent last night, John D'Souza, on the show, who said this is their plan. They've had this UFO fake invasion story ready to go that they're going to roll out. And he predicted this over a year ago. I reached out to John. I want to have him on the show. Actually, we're going back and forth today about that. But I said, you were right. Like a year ago, you actually accurately predicted this. You said this is their playbook and they're going to they're rolling it out right now.
Yeah. All right.
I find it interesting that last I knew the original balloon that started the whole thing, that was shot down and recovered. But these remaining ones, or these unidentified ones that they've shot down, they haven't gone out and recovered, have they?
The last that I know of.
They hadn't even gone out to so they just like shot them down. Like, okay, end of story.
That was cool.
But they did today. They did today say they got valuable intelligence information from that first balloon that they shot down.
Okay.
Okay, great. We shot down the fluffy part. We really analyzed on that bottom part. Okay.
I love that they say like it's a threat to civilization, yet debris falling towards Earth is no threat at all.
Right. Yeah. Thank you so much for watching this segment here at Redacted. We are live every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time trying to share the stories that the mainstream media will not cover. You should also come over and join our community of Redacted Rebels over at redacted.inc. That's our private locals community where we can share exclusive content that we simply cannot share here on YouTube. Come over and join the rebellion together right now by going to redacted.inc. We'll see you next time.
The truths on the cutting room floor and the narratives that they're supporting and furthering actually damage a lot.
The roads and all kinds of things going on. I mean, seriously, jeez. Why did we do that? Why are we doing that? I thought this was rather interesting that I haven't heard about until now. Volcanic eruption, the entire area.
As I hear of the terrible calamities that from day to day are taking place, I ask myself, what do these things mean? The most awful disasters are following one another in quick succession. How frequently we hear of earthquakes and tornadoes, of destruction by fire and flood, with great loss of life and property. Apparently, these calamities are capricious outbreaks of seemingly disorganized, unregulated forces, but in them God's purpose may be read. They are one of the means by which he seeks to arouse men and women to a sense of their danger. Harbingers of the end times. Volcanic eruption and other disasters occur simultaneously in different places around the world. The Semeru, or Mount Semeru, is an active volcano located in East Java, Indonesia. It is located in a subduction zone, where the Indo-Australian plate subducts under the Eurasia plate. It is the highest mountain on the island of Java. Volcano Semeru has awakened again. Ashes cover the area. A steep southeastern ravine was the path taken by a powerful ash flow descending from the top. The flow has traveled a considerable distance. A dense ash plume, varying in color from gray to brown, was created by the pyroclastic flow. As the plume descended the slope, it rose to 5 kilometers, that's 6,800 feet. The activity from the volcano resulted in dust-covered areas in the southeast sector, caused by volcanic ash. The accumulation of lava material from the front of the lava flow caused this flow. No injuries have been reported so far, but there is a possibility of them occurring. The Bible forewarned us of these signs. Matthew 24, verse 7. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. Are you ready?
It is the government creating them so you can live in fear. Man wrote the Bible, guys and gals. You can't trust man because they're out to get us. This is nature at its best. And we have to realize we're living on a living planet, an active planet that has life going on all over. And we're just a part of it. We're just a part of it.
It's hard not to notice that the war on birds is ramping up. Late last year, there were egg shortages in the United Kingdom, and then just last month, the egg shortages suddenly hit New Zealand. This coincides with increasingly obvious globalist agendas that aim to remove poultry and eggs from our diets. As I discussed in my video, Should You Eat Bugs?, Guardian columnist George Monbiot claimed in July 2022 that eating meat, milk and eggs is an indulgence we cannot afford. Trying to make people feel guilty about consuming these things under the farcical climate catastrophe narrative is one of their strategies. However, there has been another narrative that has been building in the background for the past two decades, and it has been used as the excuse to cull hundreds of millions of birds, the so-called avian flu. Let's have a look at the ignored paper that blew apart the entire narrative in 2005 by exposing the scientific fraud that the whole story is built upon. We called Chapter 7 A Virus Mania, Avian Flu and Not a Glimmer of Proof, and opened with the following paragraph. According to media reports in 2005, the world was threatened by a pandemic, triggered by a mutation of an avian flu virus with the mysterious and ominous-sounding name H5N1. In the weekly newspaper, Die Zeit, in late summer 2005, we shuddered to read the front-page headline, Death on Silent Wings. The bird flu is approaching, and as if the point was to create the title for the sequel to the Hollywood shocker Outbreak, in which actor Dustin Hoffman is on the hunt for a deadly virus, H5N1 plays Blitzkrieg, Lightning War, impending attack of the killer ducks. Der Spiegel quoted David Nabarro, named the UN chief coordinator in the battle against avian flu in September 2005. A new flu pandemic can break out at any moment, and it can kill up to 150 million people. Reinhard Kurth, then director of Berlin's Robert Koch Institute, didn't want to be outdone by Nabarro, and in an interview with the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung, he warned that an epidemic potentially threatens all 6 billion people. These were preposterous claims, even for people who think that pathogenic viruses exist.
Right.
Nothing of the sort eventuated, of course, but like other scandemics, such as swine flu and SARS-1, it was building up to the greatest fraud of all, COVID-19. None of these required the existence of an actual virus. They simply relied on marketing campaigns, whether it came from Big Pharma, mainstream media, or government-funded institutions. During the COVID era, the virus gaslighting has been in full swing, with the plot lines including Chinese bat caves, Wuhan wet markets, lab leaks, gain of function, and most recently, Project Veritas helping promote the term directed evolution. These are all variations of an overriding theme, that viruses are everywhere, poised to spring out and attack people and animals at any moment. In 2005, the avian flu narrative didn't gain much traction, but after the apparent success of the COVID-19 fraud, a bird flu rerun is now in pre-production. In fact, the early advertising started around October 2021, when people were immersed in the COVID-19 show. But now the wider media are running stories about avian flu.
How do we get rid of these dickheads and assholes? It's beyond me. And I don't mean the one woman talking who's making more sense than a lot of other of this crap going on. If they don't care about us.
Designed to ramp up the fear once again. For example, this headline appeared on the Edinburgh Live platform on the 2nd of February. Avian flu spreading to mammals. But what does that mean about the risk to humans? They reported that the avian influenza, also known as bird flu, has now mutated into a virus that infects animals other than birds. Now public health bosses have issued a warning that this mutation could even jump to humans, reports Glasgow Live. Although it is portraying this as a news story, you'll notice that it is essentially a reboot of the 2005 news stories that we mentioned in Virus Mania. You can watch my video, Secrets of Influenza, to see why there is no scientific evidence that influenza is a contagious illness, let alone one that is caused by an imagined virus. And with regard to the so-called avian flu, perhaps the most damning paper exposing the anti-science was published by David Crowe and Torsten Engelbrecht in Medical Hypothesis in December 2005. They documented the four questions they put to the Frederick Loeffler Institute and the information they received in response. Question 1. Does H5N1 exist? The FLI claimed that the H5N1 Asia virus can be produced completely in vitro by using reverse genetics. However, Crowe and Engelbrecht pointed out that the supplied paper did not detail how the claimed original, quote, stock virus was determined. Robert Webster, one of the paper's authors, responded that stock viruses are classified as select agents, and we are not at liberty to release this information. In other words, he knew he had been caught without evidence of a virus in their stock. Otherwise, why not divulge this crucial piece of information? Anyway, we know from the dozens of similar papers we have analysed that they simply have mixed tissue samples. At no stage do they demonstrate an infectious particle, let alone show a methodology that determines specific genetic sequences that come from the claimed particle. Question 2. Is it pathogenic to animals? The FLI provided three papers which it claimed demonstrated pathogenicity. None of the methodologies in any of these papers were sufficient to show the existence of a replication-competent intracellular parasite. They simply asserted that their manufactured brews contain such particles. And as is always the case, no virus particles could be found in any of the animals. But even allowing for this, all were performed in an unscientific manner, as we can see. The first study involved delivering a highly concentrated embryonated chicken egg culture into four-week-old ducks, including directly injecting the material into their lungs. Some of the ducks subsequently died, including a few of the ducks cohabitating the cages. They claimed the imagined virus was responsible, but it was not performed in a blinded fashion and there were no control experiments. In other words, it was a senseless activity, exposing them to mixed biological samples which didn't follow the scientific method. The second study involved Madden Derby canine kidney tissue cultures that were injected up the noses of mice, knocked out first with a general anesthetic. As we have come to expect, they were not normal mice, but highly inbred BALBC mice. While this procedure killed a few mice, once again, there was not a control experiment in sight, and thus no demonstration of an independent variable. The third study used the claimed reverse genetic reassortant viruses, the problem with which Crowe and Engelbrecht had pointed out being that the paper's co-author was unwilling to disclose how he had established his original stock contained a virus. He just expected us to believe that it did, as well as the claim that the selected genetic sequences were viral. In any case, the derived brew was injected intravenously into six-week-old chicks to see if it would make them sick. This is obviously not a natural exposure route, right, and it was further disqualified from the scientific method by once again not including any control experiments. Question 3. Is it transmissible and pathogenic to humans, and does it have pandemic potential? For this, I can simply quote Crowe and Engelbrecht, who stated, "The emerging infectious diseases paper is an anecdotal report of a 6-year-old boy from Thailand with severe multi-organ disease. No evidence was given for transmissibility to humans. The scientists found evidence of aspergillosis, and the boy was treated with toxic agents, broad-spectrum antimicrobial and antivirals, before he died." Sub-Farrell et al., referenced by the EID paper, describes a previously healthy 3-year-old Hong Kong boy who developed flu-like symptoms in May 9, 1997 and was treated with broad-spectrum antibiotics and salicylic acid, though this is commonly contraindicated. He developed Reye syndrome and died 11 days later. In other words, the most likely explanation is that he was killed by a reaction to aspirin. Question 4. Have other causes for observed disease been studied? As stated by Crowe and Engelbrecht, neither the Sub-Farrell et al. Study nor the FLI references consider reasonable competing theories for disease causation, e.g. environmental and pharmaceutical factors. The conclusion. Our analysis shows the papers do not satisfy our 4 basic questions. It should be more than evident that if these claimed pivotal avian flu studies do not follow the scientific method and are based on methodologies that are insufficient to demonstrate the existence of viruses, then the claim of a viral avian flu should be rejected outright. There does not need to be debates about how to manage an entity that does not exist.
Right.
We can see, however, that the confusion is poured on when the Edinburgh Live article goes on to state that the BBC have released figures that show the virus has led to the death of 208 million birds worldwide, with at least 200 recorded cases in mammals. First of all, their reference for this is another news article titled "East Lothian Bird Flu Fears is Up to 40 Dead Gannets Washed Up on Beaches." The story continued, "Although no tests have confirmed the latest incident was caused by avian influenza, Scottish ecologist and wildlife photographer Peter Stronach has been sharing photos and videos of sick or dead birds exhibiting symptoms of the avian disease on Twitter." As we pointed out in Virus Mania, this kind of nonsense was being promulgated 2 decades ago. Find some sick or dead birds and blame it on avian flu. Sometimes they, quote, test some of the birds for the imagined virus. And, of course, if even one result is positive, then they consider their investigations to be conclusive. This adds another layer of confusion when it is believed that these tests have any form of diagnostic validity. The kits come in various forms, whether they are antigen assays, antibody assays, or PCR protocols. As we have detailed in many videos and articles analysing these kits with regard to other alleged viral illnesses, none of them require the existence of viruses. They all involve circular reasoning with the fallacy that the selected proteins and sequences are viral in nature. Therefore, detecting them means there is a virus. So when they make claims such as the sensitivity is over 95% and the specificity is over 95%, this refers only to analytical parameters. In other words, its ability to detect the particular sequences or proteins selected by the operator, rather than non-specific targets. But detecting proteins or sequences is a chemical reaction that is not the same as diagnosing a, quote, virus or infection. A quick search did find a recent article by the BBC making the claim about the 208 million dead birds. However, further through the article, it states that almost 15 million domestic birds, including poultry, have died from the disease, and more than 193 million more have been culled. So even on their own terms, the vast majority of the dead birds were actually chickens that were intentionally killed. Mike Adams reported on this in December last year, noting that millions of chickens and turkeys were being culled in North America and other regions. As he stated, more than 40 million egg-laying chickens have died in the current outbreak, according to USDA data. Importantly, it doesn't say they died from avian influenza. They died from being culled. Stated another way, the reason why so many birds are dead during an outbreak is because farmers are being ordered by health authorities to kill them. Now, while I disagree with the analysis that a pathogen exists at all for the reasons that I've outlined, I agree with Mike's conclusion that it is a cover story to achieve depopulation of food-producing chickens, worsening food scarcity and food inflation.
Time to get your guns out.
And if you are wondering how they kill birds in these astronomical numbers, it is often done by ventilation shutdowns, in which the air supply is cut off from the birds, the temperature of the building is raised, carbon dioxide may be pumped in, and the animals gradually overheat and suffocate. In the larger facilities, it is reported that disposing of the bodies may take weeks. I am not a supporter of factory-farmed chickens, but this kind of activity slumps to all new lows. Mike also hits the nail on the head, noting that after more than a decade, his backyard chickens are unvaccinated and free-range, and they aren't dying from avian influenza. In Virus Mania, we also document why you don't need an imagined virus to make factory farm chickens sick, because there are numerous reasons, including heavy psychological stress resulting from extremely close crowding in the cages,
right,
and mass stabling with no natural sunlight. Denatured industrial feed, including already spoiled feed. Distortion of animal bodies as a result of overbreeding for certain desired physical characteristics. Preventative administration of all sorts of medications, antibiotics, vaccines, etc., that may induce severe side effects even to chicks. Additionally, flocks of birds can be found dead in the wild from a variety of causes, often because of ingesting toxins.
Right.
However, whenever sick or dead birds are found in farms or in the wild today, the virus hunters apply their bogus test kits and, based on the detection of certain proteins or genetic sequences, claim that a virus is at work. The solution is then declared to be the mass slaughter of all birds in the area or facility, which is how they report their ludicrous, quote, case numbers. Most of these birds are, of course, completely well. It is as senseless as the incineration of over a million cows, which took place in the UK in the 1990s for alleged mad cow disease, another false epidemic based on pseudoscientific claims. We dedicated another chapter of Virus Mania to exposing how prions have never been shown to be the cause of disease and how Stanley Prusiner's speculative prion model was awarded with a Nobel Prize in 1997, right around the time the cattle slaughter was in full swing. It is likely that we will see a ramping up of the bird flu narrative in 2023. In this article...
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for free association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Felt so bad I had to go throw peanuts to the birds. So the birds had some extra snack to eat. God, please help us. Why are we all so stupid and allowing this? And falling for the corporations, don't they? None of this is in our favor. None of it. You're not going to be able to go out to eat because there won't be the ingredients that they need. Or the price goes up so bad that you get a nibble for a flavor, for a taste. $15 for a taste. People, if you don't open your eyes and see that we're getting definitely annihilated, then you're foolish assholes and you don't belong on this planet in the first place. Okay? I just have to say that. I gotta be a bitch. Not that I like being a bitch. Every so often it could be actually semi-enjoyable if they really deserve the bitchin'. But if this doesn't make your blood boil, if this doesn't mean that you're so enslaved you don't even know you're alive, and that you should have the power or the right to make a choice, isn't that what liberty is? I had the liberty to do that. At least I thought I did, and I had given it away. I'm not going to let somebody else tell me, hey, yay or nay. Like, excuse me? I can't play by any of these rules anymore. That's all there is to it. And I never have anyway, for the most part of my life. But we keep killing life. We keep allowing these scientists who don't even have the right to say that what they say is the truth. And they have carte blanche over our lives. Just what the fuck?
On the BBC platform in early February contains the expected fear. Claims that this photo of a dead gannet can only be explained by a deadly virus. That it is killing hundreds of millions of birds, that it is jumping species, that it is leading to egg shortages, and the punchline. The World Health Organization says the further spread of the H5N1 virus will have to be monitored closely to see whether it is mutating into a form which can spread amongst humans. So, what can we do aside from ignore the nonsense? If possible, people should get their own chickens. Our family will be taking the Mike Adams approach in securing our own homegrown eggs and poultry. And while this is not practical for everyone, those who don't have their own chickens could look to support their local organic suppliers. It would not be a surprise to see attempts to ban homegrown chickens in the future, but this will be much more difficult if it becomes a more widespread activity. The story will be sold as the birds being biohazards, harboring viruses that could trigger a pandemic at any moment.
Good.
In the meantime, it is much more difficult for them to control the food supplies if we take steps to be more self-sufficient and work in decentralized systems. The avian flu will be used as another excuse for imposing this sinister biosecurity surveillance state. That is why exposing the non-existence of pathogenic viruses is so important. All of these fake narratives will come crashing down, whether they involve alleged human or animal contagion. Those taking part in mass culling, the mass distribution of vaccines and pharmaceuticals, and other, quote, public health rituals, are the real plague. They are destroying food supplies, desecrating the earth and creating an epidemic of fear. The best thing we can do is move away from their madness and bring our deserved prosperity back to this beautiful kingdom.
Wouldn't that be great?
If you enjoyed this video, please visit supportdrsam.com.
I mean, honestly. Honestly. I deserve better. If y'all believe it or not, then hey. either or. Come on. No. What time is it? 35. I really don't like this guy, but hey. And I don't mean the guy who's probably...
The Council on Foreign Relations is a private group, not affiliated with the U.S. government, but made to look that way. Just as the Federal Reserve, the name Council on Foreign Relations sounds official to the unsuspecting ear. And they even print a magazine called Foreign Affairs to help pacify the organization in the public mind. But the truth is, the CFR is not a council belonging to the U.S. government, and is, in fact, a secret society masquerading as an official organization.
Jeez.
If they called it Republicrats for World Government, or Demopublican Global Governance Group, then the herd might notice. Even if they called it the American Royal Institute for International Affairs, the sheeple might raise an eyebrow. This is the same reason our American leaders are called presidents and not prime ministers, even though they are all royalty. Admiral Chester Ward was a U.S. Judge Advocate General of the Navy and CFR member for 16 years. He said the purpose of the CFR was, quote, promoting disarmament and the submergence of U.S. sovereignty and national independence into an all-powerful one-world government. In his book, Kissinger on the Couch, Ward wrote, "The lust to surrender the sovereignty and independence of the United States is pervasive throughout most of the membership, and particularly in the leadership of several divergent cliques that make up what is actually a polycentric organization." Harper's, in July 1958, wrote, "The most powerful clique in these CFR groups has one objective in common. They want to bring about the surrender of the sovereignty and the national independence of the U.S. They want to end national boundaries and racial and ethnic loyalties, supposedly to increase business and ensure world peace. What they strive for would inevitably lead to dictatorship and loss of freedoms by the people." Congressman John Rarick in 1971 said, "The Council on Foreign Relations is the establishment. Not only does it have influence and power in key decision-making positions at the highest levels of government to apply pressure from above, but it also announces and uses individuals and groups to bring pressure from below, to justify the high-level decisions for converting the U.S. from a sovereign constitutional republic into a servile member state of a one-world dictatorship. CFR membership is made up of past, present, and future presidents, secretaries of state, secretaries of defense, ambassadors, senators, congressmen, judges, Federal Reserve System presidents and chairmen, bankers, military leaders, media owners and personalities, lobbyist lawyers, corporate executives, think tank executives, and university presidents. CFR membership is composed of the most influential Americans of the century. Just look at the household names belonging to the CFR. George Bush, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Jimmy Carter, Gerald Ford, Richard Nixon, John F. Kennedy, Dwight Eisenhower, Herbert Hoover, Robert Kennedy, Al Gore, Condoleezza Rice, Jesse Jackson, Colin Powell, Strobe Talbot, James Woolsey, John Dulles, Michael Dukakis, Fred Thompson, John McCain, Barack Obama, Mitt Romney, Rudy Giuliani, John Edwards, Michael Bloomberg, John Kerry, Thomas Kean, Henry Kissinger, Zbigniew Brzezinski, Jonathan Bush, Angelina Jolie, Dan Rather, Diane Sawyer, Barbara Walters, Consuelo Mack, Warren Beatty, William Buckley Jr., Newt Gingrich, Alan Greenspan, Paul Wolfowitz, Averill and Pamela Harriman, David Nelson and Jay Rockefeller, William and McGeorge Bundy, Brent Scowcroft, and Paul Warburg. Here is just a sampling of the CFR's corporate members. ABC News, American Express, Bank of America, Boeing, Chevron, Citigroup, Coca-Cola, De Beers, ExxonMobil, FedEx, Ford, GE, Google, Halliburton, Heinz, IBM, Lockheed Martin, MasterCard, Merck, Merrill Lynch, Motorola, NASDAQ, News Corp, Nike, PepsiCo, Pfizer, Shell Oil, Sony, Time Warner, Toyota, Verizon, and Visa. Gary Allen wrote, "Although the membership of the CFR is a veritable who's who in big business and the media, probably only one person in a thousand is familiar with the organization itself. And even
okay, I have to read this to you because otherwise it just means too much. And I missed the last one, but when someone accuses you of wearing a tinfoil hat, remind them it's better than wearing a blindfold. Just saying.
Even fewer are aware of its real purposes. During its first 50 years of existence, the CFR was almost never mentioned by any of the moguls of the mass media.
I identify as a conspiracy theorist. My pronouns are told you so.
And when you realize that the membership of the CFR includes top executives from the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Los Angeles Times, the Knight newspaper chain, NBC, CBS, Time, Life, Fortune, Business Week, U.S. News and World Report, and many others, you can be sure that such anonymity is not accidental.
Conspiracy theorist, a person that researches a subject and then uses logic and critical thinking skills to form an educated opinion instead of just blindly believing whatever they saw on TV. Tap lightly, come on.
It is deliberate. They control or own major newspapers, magazines, radio, and television networks, and they control the most powerful companies in the book publishing business. Nearly every U.S. president since its inception has been a CFR member. Even the non-CFR...
When someone calls you a conspiracy theorist, what they are really saying is they are too lazy to do their own research and that we should just trust the government and the media to tell us the truth. One minute.
Our presidents have had administrations full of members. For instance, Ronald Reagan wasn't a CFR member, but his vice president, George Bush, was CFR, and so were 28 members of his transition team alone. George W. Bush was not a CFR member either, but his father and uncle are. His vice president, Dick Cheney, is, and his administration is swarming with them. At the founding meeting of the United Nations, there were 74 CFR members. The Clinton administration had over 100 CFR members. The Nixon administration had over 115 CFR members, all in key executive branch positions, most of whom continued through the Ford years, and a few of whom are still in power today. The Council on Foreign Relations, like Skull and Bones, always promotes candidates from both the Democrat and Republican parties, thus ensuring a win for the New World Order. In 1952 and 1956, CFR Republican Dwight Eisenhower ran against CFR Democrat Adlai Stevenson. In 1960, it was CFR Republican Richard Nixon against CFR Democrat John F. Kennedy. In 1964, neither candidate was CFR, but Barry Goldwater was a Freemason, and Lyndon Johnson's administration was full of CFR members. In 1968, it was CFR Republican Richard Nixon versus CFR Democrat Hubert Humphrey. In 1972 was Nixon again versus CFR Democrat George McGovern. In 1976, CFR Republican Gerald Ford lost to CFR Democrat Jimmy Carter.
Follow them up.
In 1980 was Mason Republican Ronald Reagan versus CFR Democrat Jimmy Carter and CFR Independent John Anderson. Was Reagan again against CFR Democrat Walter Mondale. In 1988, CFR Republican George Bush ran against CFR Democrat Michael Dukakis. 1992 was Bush again running against CFR Democrat Bill Clinton. In 1996, Clinton was challenged by CFR Republican Bob Dole. In 2000, CFR Democrat Al Gore lost to Skull and Bones Republican George W. Bush, with CFR running mate Dick Cheney. In 2004, Bush was challenged by Brother Bonesman and CFR Democrat John Kerry. The CFR owns the monopoly market on both presidents and presidential candidates. In the 2008 presidential race, the CFR propped up Democrats Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, John Edwards, and Republicans Rudy Giuliani, John McCain, Mitt Romney, and Fred Thompson. In 2012, both frontrunners Mitt Romney and Barack Obama were both CFR. Dr. Carol Quigley wrote, "The chief problem of American political life has been how to make the two congressional parties more national and international. The argument that the two parties should represent opposed ideals and policies, one perhaps of the right and the other of the left, is a foolish idea, acceptable only to doctrinaire and academic thinkers. Instead, the two parties should be almost identical, so that the American people can throw the rascals out at any election without leading to any profound or extensive shifts in policy." The Chicago Tribune editorial on December 9, 1950 wrote, "The members of the Council on Foreign Relations are persons of much more than average influence in their community. They have used the prestige that their wealth, their social position, and their education have given them to lead their country toward bankruptcy and military debacle. They should look at their hands. There is blood on them, the dried blood of the last war and the fresh blood of the present one, the Korean War. Almost all CIA directors have been CFR members, including Alan Dulles, Richard Helms, William Colby, George Bush, William Webster, James Woolsey, John Deutsch, and William Casey. Many U.S. senators were also members, including David Boren, William Bradley, John Chafee, William Cohen, Christopher Dodd, Bob Graham, Joseph Lieberman, George Mitchell, Claiborne Pell, Larry Pressler, Charles Robb, John D. Rockefeller, and William Roth Jr. For U.S. congressional representatives, there has been Howard Berman, Thomas...
Governments owned by corporations run by psychopaths lying about an imaginary economic basis on debt, fueled by illegal wars and illegals, destroying ecosystems, poisoning our food and water and air, decreasing our education, increasing our prisons, manipulating the media, suppressing free energy, making us struggle, starving, humiliating, and killing the rest of the world, all whilst you stay silent, pay taxes, and vote."
S. Foley, Sam Gedgenson, Richard Gephardt, Newt Gingrich, Amory Houghton Jr., Nancy Lee Johnson, John Lewis, Robert Matsui, Dave McCurdy, Eleanor Holmes Norton, Thomas L. Petrie, Carlos Romero Barcelo, Patricia Schroeder, Peter Smith, Olympia Snow, John Spratt, and Louis Stokes. As for Secretaries of Defense, Neil McElroy, Robert Gates, Robert McNamara, Melvin Laird, Elliot Richardson, Donald Rumsfeld, Harold Brown, Caspar Weinberger, Frank Carlucci, and Dick Cheney, and U.S. ambassadors to Australia, Britain, Chile, Czech Republic, France, India, Italy, Japan, Korea, Mexico, Nigeria, Philippines, Poland, Romania, Russia, Spain, South Africa, and Syria. This is just a sampling of the high-level government positions held by hundreds, if not thousands, of CFR members. As Robert Anton Wilson said, "If the CFR had millions of members, like, say, the Presbyterian Church, this list might not mean much. But the CFR only has 3,200 members." And Gary Allen wrote, "The plan, as publicly stated by the CFR's Richard Gardner, part-time State Department functionary and Columbia University professor of law and international organization, amounts to this. Instead of trying to make the UN a complete world dictatorship immediately, the establishment will identify different problems in different countries. Then, they will propose a solution, which can only be achieved by some kind of international agency, so that each country concerned will be forced to surrender another segment of its national independence." Gardner considers this piecemeal approach the practical road to the end of nationhood.
Pshhh. Well, I can't tell you I knew any of that. But I did know it, but not in the way that he placed it out there. Just totally, it's time to boycott the other life that they brought to us. It's not really our life, it's our enslavement. And do you want your life to be enslaved to corporations who will allow a train to drive 20 miles with its wheels sparking on the railway line? Under those chemicals, that's how much people aren't working. They don't even have people keeping an eye on the... I mean, you could see it in the surveillance tape at the certain different junctions of the railroad and railroad tracks. So why wasn't people paying attention? This has all been derived for purpose of reason that I don't like. I don't think you really like it either. But what are you supposed to do? I mean, you just start changing your ways and the ways things are. For that condition of whatever it is, that's really not in your favor. So you haven't even been taught or know what's right or good for in your favor. That's the worst part, really, actually. Yeah. And then some have taken it so over for granted, oh my gosh, that they make other people's lives totally miserable. I had a miracle happen today, so I'm really kind of happy. I haven't had a bunch of miracles happen in a long time, but it did. And I'm so excited that it did. Because you never know, you know what I mean? You just never know what happens until... But I did see in my cards, tarot cards, that it was all through magic. And I like magic, so... And I like y'all too, and I want to thank you for joining me. Please have a blessed day. Later.
Now that you see how blatantly the midterms have been stolen, how many other times have you been played? The Green New Deal, the pandemic and the vax, Sandy Hook and the courts, the missing gas chambers, bio and chem labs in Ukraine, Bill Binney, Catherine Horton, Nick Kohlerstrom, Uli Damgaard, Tina Pollard-Sachs, and many more. You don't want to miss my third annual False Flags and Conspiracy Virtual Conference, 3 to 4 December 2022. 24 speakers, 26 presentations. Check it out at jameshfetzer.org. This one is for history.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Don't miss the Crick Rick and Jonathan Show every Saturday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Studio B, right here at Revolution Radio.
The journey begins to fun, health, and freedom.